Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings, and with that kind of bodhicitta motivation, we should engage in this teaching. Let me read a couple of passages from the Lamrim to give you a blessing of oral transmission.
Parashiva mi bhava tso, parashiva mi sa tso vayang, jimbara te mi go bhi va tso mi bhi. Va she cha te ila she va ne kam te re she ni ila se va te nyan sa lo song ba wo te she va ta ro. Ta kisa ngan tsu shun tsu te te re va kar sa. Simni gui na ka guva te pto da vati she tsa rikta. In bahasa simni gul lah, ini gubeh kau sahaja, sini top kiri silaur, bahasa tiada sahaja. Sebab simni gubat ini bezau mewal, ini tinggi jenis juga, ini tangguhkan. Ini tiada wala, ini bezau je juga ni, sihing pergi cara sih ni, ini mikbal mewal, sini jiwa kau ni juga, kerja tu sih sim, ngamang kau ni juga, kerja ini sini tangguh pergi lundu sih ni, ini kau ni juga, kerja kau ni macam mana, ini sini jiwa macam, tapi dia juga sini sah dah, kerja dah. Tingin tu yang macam tu, cakap kan kerja sih, ini cakap mana ini kerja. Tingin tu coba macam tu, jadi cara aku sungguh ni setel je rumah sih kan tu, biasa macam macam nangsi cuci, tapi ngau tu kita nangsi mana, sebab tu kan tu ini juga jual kan kan, cakap tu betul tapi lundu tu sih macam, ngau 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 ni cakap, siapa siapa jual sih cakap ni, tapi ini cakap pun cakap yang jual sih macam, aku tu je sih, aku tu bang sih yang cakap, tapi macam mana, yang macam ni jual je macam ni, tapi ini sih macam mana.
Geshe-la read from the second paragraph of page 77 to page beginning of page 79. Just to remind ourselves what we were talking about last week, we talked about the nine stages of mental development for serenity or calm abiding. And the ninth mental stage is called balanced placement, or I said, level of equanimity. And this is where we have achieved serenity or calm abiding. So when we have calm abiding or serenity, we could effortlessly and spontaneously set our mind on the focus. But this kind of effortlessness and spontaneity is an outcome or a result of making consistent effort previously, and especially on the previous levels of mental development. We have made efforts to apply mindfulness, to apply vigilance or introspection, right? As a result of applying efforts all the way through, now, once we reach the ninth stage, then we enjoy the fruit, so to speak. It is spontaneous and effortless a state of mind. So when we look at these nine stages of mental development, there is what we call cause and effect relationship between the preceding level and the subsequent levels of mind. Okay? In other words, to be able to experience serenity, the ninth mental state, we should have attained the eight, and before the eight, that's seven. So we can trace back all the way to the first mental stage development, which is called the mental placement, or setting the mind on the focus. Yeah. Also, I mentioned to you the other day that before even we started to engage in our serenity meditation, we need to fulfill or assemble what is known as the prerequisites of the thought, okay? The collection of conducive conditions, So Geshe Sharawa was particular about that. He said we really need to pay attention to the prerequisites before we start the serenity meditation. Jerry Rinpoche has very much really appreciated that, Geshe Sharawa statement. So Jerry Rinpoche makes quite a strong statement. He said that if all the necessary causes and conditions are not assembled together, then we really cannot have the expected result. Okay? So that we have to keep in our mind. If anything is missing in our causes and conditions, then of course, we won't be able to get the expected result.
다디 Hini Taba Yang Minjo Nalhadon Taba Taji Yamu Honjang Dip Cheta Sini Guba Todu Zan Da Hijang Toma Da Hijang Yamari Hijang Mesa Hini Taba Le Hijang Guo Rwa Cheta Da Hijang Mazi Da Le Nalhadon Cheta Da Pasha Da Hini Kona Taba Yamari Hina An Kaji Da Le Be Da Nalhadon Cheba Jin Sigo Le Sigo Da Honjang Da 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 Ngin Da 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 Se Me Da Ba Jin Ba Shi Ni Na Nyam Ya Da Je Da Da Be Nam Ra Me Da Be Yi Shi Cheba Da Jin Shepard the Yindu Sali Shibi Sydney Gubad, Ninjol Lami Ninjol Lami Zorim Yonsu Zobaran Juma, Deva Hindu, Mama Nang De, what do you shepherd show us? Shedata, Tada, Sydney Gubad to the Zana, and Rolushan, he needs some toyo meditation, and That Kajik Zena any Hagdon Torres, Hagdon Tobin, any December Tony be Sanga Lami and Zoru Domayons of Toyo, Sigurs, that Zoru Domay is a Pisan Yerin Gorwa. Did they hear what is it? Said that Slavon the Yinsan, she was not that Yinsan, she was in the Guazit and that was the Shay that did it. Casa Doba in Shisha Casa.
So we have, talked about the nine stages of mental development, the nine stages called the balanced placement or the state of equanimity. And this is where really we are able to engage in our meditation effortlessly and spontaneously. But that being said, the nine stages is not the same as the serenity itself or the calm abiding. Now, once we have the nine, so we are, the next outcome would be the serenity. And so sometimes I think it seems like, critics have equated the nine stage as the same as the serenity, or even, more than serenity, they consider it more like a special insight or vipassana. Okay. So they talk about how you experience this blissful experience and the clarity and the non-discursive, insight here. And so here the Jetamuchi is very particular about that. He said, you have not yet, forget about the special insight or the vipassana lakdong, right? You have not yet even attained serenity or calm abiding. Why? Because, serenity or calm abiding is characterized by the blissful experience that arises out of pliancy of body and mind, okay, physical and mental pliancies. So on the ninth stage, it's wonderful, effortless, spontaneous, but you have still not yet really experienced that bliss that comes out of physical and mental pliancies. When that happens, then you will have the real calm abiding or serenity. Okay? And so Jerubaj wants to clarify that point. He said, because some people even made this big noise about, like, when you're on the ninth stage, not only that you have attained the special insight, now it's almost like your realization is equal to the completion stage of the highest yoga Buddhist tantra. Okay? And while if you have really completion stage of the highest yoga Buddhist tantra, the next thing that is the Buddhahood, right? You're almost becoming Buddha, so that becomes really too much, actually, And and then they said, how when you are in the ninth stage, it is almost like your meditative equipoise and post-meditation periods are one and the same thing. While that is only a quality of an enlightened being can simultaneously be in the state of meditative equipoise called nyamsha in Tibetan, and the post-meditation period called Cheto. Only enlightened being can be do that, but we as, you know, who are not enlightened yet, we might achieve high realizations, but we still alternate between, right? Being in the meditative state and being out of the meditative state. So, I mean, to talk about make such a big noise is a little too noisy here, you know. So Jenmoji wants to make sure that we don't get caught up with the noise, you know, and understand that we are close to serenity, but not yet. Yeah. And I must say that, you know, Jerembuche making all this effort to offer clarification and what we call constructive criticism, it's not because he loved to criticize people and, you know, poke, you know, push their buttons or something. It's just basically his whole motivation is he wants to keep the purity of the Dharma and the teaching. He didn't want things get mixed up, and then we get habituated in telling the same story and teaching in the same way, and then that will affect generation after generation. You know, we just keep on, you know, giving the some kind of a, you know, not complete pure commentary or the teaching. So Jerembu is very concerned with that. You know, he wants to maintain the purity of the Dharma and the practice. So therefore, he makes a lot of effort to offer his what we call constructive criticism, to offer, you know, clarifications, you know, where, you know, things have been explained not clearly. And because Jay Jambuche is, you know, very, well, excuse me, use this, mean this word will and work well, but it's very anal about, you know, the really the spiritual matters and purity, you know. So therefore, you know, he doesn't take it easy, you know. He will, where he really need to come clearly and say it, he'll say it. So because of that, sometimes, you know, some scholars or critics wouldn't like him, you know, because they think like he's getting too much and, you know, either criticizing them or whatever the case may be. So then they started to, you know, give some, you know, labels onto Jerembuche. But the whole, they're missing the whole point. Really, Jerembuche's whole intention is to present the Dharma as purely and authentically as possible. And if there's any discrepancies on any mis, information like that, so he, you know, he wouldn't take it anymore. So he would just make it clear his position.
That 바로 친구가 바로 친구지 그 땡긴지 뉴욕 내 도와라 봐
Let's refresh our mind with some of the main points and outlines we set some time ago. And so we were talking about the stages in which the mental states develop. In other words, stages of mental development. And under that, there are three sub-points. The first one is the actual stages in which the mental states develop. In other words, we have talked about the nine stages of mental development, each of them. Right? We already talked about that. And the second sub-point is the process of achieving them with the six forces. So we talked about how six types of force, or I even use the word power, right, help us to be able to accomplish different stages of mental development. So we have applied the six types of forces to the nine stages of mental development. So we already talked about that. Now the third point, which we are going to talk about, is how the four attentions are involved in this. You know, there are four types of attention applicable to the nine stages of mental development, and this is what we're going to talk about today. So at the bottom of page 78, if you will, where it reads, see how the four attentions are involved in this. Our main source is, again here, great Indian master Asanga's levels of hearers, or Sharvaka Bhumi, the Sharvaka levels. And so let's first kind of get a list of the four types of attention, if you will. The first one is called dim the jubi intimim. Dim means tight. So here translated as tight focus, okay, or tight attention, if you will. The second one is called chejin jubi in Tibetan, which means intermittent focus, or I would translate as, you know, interrupted attention. Okay. Now the third one is Cheba Meva in Tibetan, which is uninterrupted focus or uninterrupted attention. And the fourth one is called Lungi Doba, which means spontaneous attention. So those are the four types of attention, or Yiche in Tibetan. So now let's talk about how those four types of attention apply to the nine stages of mental development. Tight attention, or dimdi juba, tight focus, you know, it is applied to the first two stages of mental development. The first one is called mental placement, or setting the mind, as I said, on focus. And the second one is called continuous placement, or continual setting of the mind. So those two levels of mental development, you know, where we really need to tighten our attention, okay, so the tight attention really is very important in these two. And then for the next five stages of mental development, which would be, you know, past placement, a past-like setting, close setting or close placement four, taming the mind, pacification, and complete pacification. For those stages of mental development, you know, what we have is interrupted attention, or intermittent focus. Yeah, why interrupted? is as we progress on these stages of mental development, you know, our meditation skills are improving very much. But that being said, you know, there are really very good periods of time that our meditation is really quality and on the dot, as you would say. But there are times that laxity and excitement still interrupt our meditation, you know, here and there. So that's called interrupted, right? Here and there, laxity and excitement interrupt our meditation, so there's attention part. But otherwise, you know, there are many periods where we are able to do good meditation. So therefore, interrupted attention applies to those five stages of mental development. And then there is the uninterrupted focus of the attention. That applies to the eighth stage of mental development, which is one-pointed attention or single-pointed attention. Okay? And so here is uninterrupted attention in the sense that even though at the beginning, maybe as we talked about, that we need to apply mindfulness and introspection and vigilance, but once we do that, then, you know, really there is no risk or danger that, you know, either laxity or excitement is going to interrupt our meditation. So they are not going to interrupt meditation on the eighth level stage. So therefore, our attention is uninterrupted attention, if you will. Then the ninth stage, which is called the balanced, the balanced placement or the equanimity, as I said, we experience what's called spontaneous attention. Now this is where, as we said, our meditation goes effortlessly and very spontaneous, and we never have to worry about either laxity or excitement, you know, doing anything to disrupt our meditation. And we don't need to worry about it. You know, we really don't, you know, we're what we call concern-free on this stage, right? We don't have to worry about laxity. We don't have to worry about excitement because they can't do anything disrupt our minds.
That tip could you think as a tambonil and the same thing in the draw at the Mundo at me? She might cheer Ruma Ruma cheer Rilla, Papa Galani, Ding in the dealer, never cheering, Shimala Yin Kaza, Shimala Ding in the party chevy, Tanya Zella, Namal Mandi, or did it that Tambonin Dela and the good because same you are that Ding in the Shayani Jena any good.
Now on page 79, a critic has raised a point here, right? Maybe I can say, a critic opens her mouth. And so what does the critic say? You know, critic said, wow, he said, how come, I mean, you talk about what we call tight focus of attention with regard to the first two stages, and not to the, you know, the other five stages, you know. For the next five stages, you know, you said, so we have interrupted attention. You said, isn't it the case that we really need a tight focus for all the first seven stages, you know? So, you know, the way you talk about it, you said, you know, that's, you know, needs clarification. So why we talk about tight focus only with, well, not only, actually, the tight focus with regard to the first two stages and interrupted attention with the remaining other, you know, five stages. He said, you know, we need the tight focus for the other five, and we need the interruption on the first two. So, you know, so your language is confusing me, I guess. He didn't say that. So here, the answer is, it is true, right? And, you know, as we cultivate meditation, we need to, you know, apply our attention or the tight, you know, attention throughout. But the, you know, the reason why we talked about tight focus in the first two stages, in the first two stages, you know, we are so prone to distractions, you know. We really can't talk about interruption or uninterruption because it's all distractions, you know. So he says, so therefore, it makes more sense to say tight focus of attention, because on the first two stages, our mind is, you know, berserk. It's all distracted, okay. But the next five, stages, yes, we need a tight attention, but what is happening here is now we have developed some stability of the mind or the focus, okay. It's not that laxity and excitement is interrupting, you know, every minute of our meditation. You know, they give us some break, I think. You know, we have some good meditation, and then they pop up, they interrupt our meditation, then we tackle them, then we have good meditation, then they interrupt, see. So therefore, he said, it makes sense to talk about interrupted attention with the next five stages, you know, because in the first, we can't talk about interruption or no interruption, you know, it's all distraction. Does that make sense? So that's the response, you know. Okay.
Yumichibe nanjur ki karsa samdhiyo dhruva tsomba cha yangda yangshin nyewa so tsubi mi jinjur te nanjur tsulang tekhimdi shawa matuk tangme cha he songso se tati tetana siddhi tati niya tinginzi dhulu te pechi he zara wakiti hini rochi te tetana nga shebe错了对吧
We are still on page 79, somewhere in the middle, where it reads, thus, after you have established yourself in the preconditions explained earlier, you will achieve serenity if you cultivate continual joyous perseverance for accomplishing concentration. So the point being made here is, now we have really already talked about, you know, the techniques or the methods, you know, to cultivate serenity or calm abiding. I mean, we also talked about the prerequisites or the preconditions before that. Okay? So based upon all those causes and conditions, now if we engage in our practice and apply ourselves into practice consistently, enthusiastically, right? Our enthusiastic effort has to be continuous or continual. Okay? And if we do that, then we will be, you know, successful to accomplish serenity. But if, you know, we take a different approach, like, you know, when everything is happy, right, then we do meditation. Otherwise, we take a break, and then, you know, after whatever break, then we do meditation, then we take a break, right? If we do like that, interrupt it, right, then we are not going to accomplish the serenity, calm abiding, because that requires persistence and consistency in our application of enthusiasm. And to substantiate that point, we have a quote from Indian master Arya Asuras called Compendium of the Perfection States. Okay? And here, Arya Asura tells us that you know, we really need to apply ourselves consistently into our practice. You know, don't take a break until we really are able to achieve our expected serenity. And the example given here is that of, I think it's, I don't know whether I can translate it really accurately, it's called Tsubxing. It's supposed to be, I think, certain kind of wooden sticks. If you rub them against each other, it's going to start a fire. Okay? But you have to keep, you know, rubbing it against until the fire sparks come up, right? You cannot like, okay, I'm going to take a break. That's too painful. Right? Now I'm going to do it. It's not going to start a fire. See? Until the fire sparks come up, you really have to, you know, rub the stick against each other, and then you have a fire, right? So like that, we have to apply ourselves enthusiastically and consistently into our meditation practice until we are able to develop those mental stages. Okay.
Okay.
So the lineage masters have got this to say, if we are going to be, you know, really wanting to cultivate serenity or shine, right, we want to dedicate ourselves into that practice. So until we have it, however long it takes, you know, we have to just do nothing else but, you know, focus on our practice. And of course, our practice consists of many sessions of meditation and many in-between sessions, or what we call post-meditational periods. Not only have we, you know, do we have to be, you know, very good in our meditation session, even when we are in between the sessions, right, we cannot, you know, do the things that go against our practice. You know, we cannot like, okay, now I'm going to go and socialize with people and, you know, I'm just going to find people to talk to or something, you know, because those things are not conducive to one's practice, you know. What is recommended by the masters is even in between the breaks of the sessions, we should read, you know, like explanation or commentary on the serenity practice, so that what we do in between session, it really augments or facilitates our meditation practice, and what we do in the meditation, it really inspires us during the between sessions. Okay, so it has to be, you know, complementary to each other, not that during the break we think, okay, now I'm taking a break and I'm going to do, I'm going to be a social butterfly, you know, and that's not going to work.
Some good hini toba yin nya na se she ba she da di sine guwa to ni hini to gure bu zun di to gu ma re se wa 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 ti se wa ga je nyom ge she na she ba she de se ding yin ji di toba la hin di jang ba toba do ma do ba yin su ye bi ke de hin zo ma do na ni hini ji te ba yin ji hini ngu me bi hini de ji zo to ba yi la she wa she sha de gong re le zhom den den xiao ju se ba di qi ji de sim Sim the big sim now do yila jeba la jeba jeba no lucian jamba sim shun jamba mother but tea party yil shiva de chigi ji shamba shini the mind de shini jizu ba mubata tingin the summa de ba show she song him do de yile get to gumba de be ten de lucas shun jamba che top ne yila shiva ji chas or did that. Tele in simni guba tobi gube nega telia in hijang si mazi ni yore sirwa hijang mazi vete in hini reves in the maris. But the mind will concurrence in the gondil song yasrawa, gondil in the hijang mazi vete but ding in the years of the carriers in the hini jiz to maria magi jiz hini moni sasa maris in gondil song yas. These are my dote gave song yas. Tele de lose the hini jamba chit of the years of a change yas. Simni guba the top ne. In the Hinjan talks on the Hine Yil Shiva cities, and that Hine the Tango did it. But told it, Hinjan mother for the Tong Maris, Kajita Long Yindua, but did it, Kajuko, Hinjan was the name in Hine Maris.
So we are at the bottom of page 79. So far, we have talked about each of the nine stages of mental development. We applied the six types of force or power to the nine stages of mental development, and we have also applied the four types of attention to the nine stages of mental development. So we have talked about all of those things already. Now the next one that we are going to talk about is, how do we know, right, that we have serenity or calm abiding? And so here, where is it? At the bottom of page 79, it says the measure of successful cultivation of serenity. In other words, what is the criteria by which we know that either we have serenity or we don't have serenity yet, right? How do we know that? Okay. And so this is, again, explained, three related points I explained with regard to this. And, oh my God, this is so long to say. But anyway, number one, thanks to the translators, I can just read it here. A presentation of the dividing line between accomplishing and not accomplishing meditative serenity. That's point number one, which we're going to talk about. Point number two, a general presentation of the way to proceed along the path on the basis of meditative serenity. Point number three, a specific presentation of the way to proceed along the mundane path. Anyway, so the explanation given here is, we have to talk about how do we know whether we have serenity or calm abiding already or not yet. Okay? And the number two is, it's not, we are not cultivating serenity or calm abiding just for the sake of serenity. Simply having calm abiding is not going to do anything. We will still be here. Okay? It's not going to change anything much, really. But we are really cultivating serenity for some other purpose, greater, right? And so either with the help of serenity, we can cultivate transcendental path, right, and take a different direction. Maybe we can focus on selflessness and emptiness and take another direction. Or we can use the serenity to cultivate certain mundane path and achieve something else too. Okay, so that's the whole point. So that's all those three long ones I just read to you is basically talking about those things. Okay. And so the first question is, where am I here? On page 80 now, a question has been raised. Basically, I think we talked about this before too. It says as we train our mind and our meditation is going well, our meditative skills are improving. So if we find ourselves on a stage, which is basically they're talking about the ninth stage, where neither laxity nor excitement is disrupting, our meditation. We have the spontaneity, effortlessness, and everything's going well. Now, does that mean we have serenity now, right? It's really good to be in that state. Well, the answer is no. How do we know? And he says that, state of equanimity or balance placement, I think that's what your translation says, right? Until we have the pliancy, right? You know, it is not a serenity or calm abiding yet. You know, it is very close to approximation of that, or a similitude of serenity, if you will, but not the serenity itself. But as we continue, right, our meditation, whenever we experience the pliancy, we call Xinjiang in Tibetan, then we have got the calm abiding or serenity. Yeah, so that tells us, right, how do we differentiate between whether having serenity yet or not having serenity yet. Okay, and so this is substantiated by two really authentic sources. And we have a quote from Unraveling Thought Sutra. What is it here? Sutra Unraveling the Intended Meaning. And we have Maitreya's Ornament for the Mayana Sutra, right? So we have quotes from them to make that distinction. Yeah. So we could be in the ninth stage of mental development without the pliancy. That means we have the similitude of the calm abiding, not the real one yet. But when the pliancy sets in, then we have the real calm abiding. And at the bottom of page 80, the conversation continues based upon Kamal Shila's stages of meditation on Bhavana Krama. Okay? And so Kamal Shila also tells us that so when we develop pliancy, that experience, then he said, then you have the real serenity or the calm abiding. You know, before that, you don't have the actual serenity. And then, you know, someone says, you know, so what about Kamal Shila said something else in the first part of the stages of meditation, you know, and that's on page 81 right at the top. It says, when your attention is focused on the object of meditation for as long as you wish, without resort to that antidote, know that you have perfected serenity. So the clarification given here is, you know, here it's assumed that the serenity you have really already has a pliancy, okay? Because he already talked about that in the middle section of the stages of meditation, okay? And one thing I forgot to mention, if we refer back to Maitreya's Ornament for Mayana Sutra on page 80, where the stanza ends, you are said to have attention. This attention is to be understood as serenity. Yeah, so when you have a pliancy, that attention we are talking about here is the serenity itself.
Yeah. 他那你问我不直接那了，那个对，对面是吧？大勇是阿娇是吧？我的大勇是阿爹的，他那年三十岁，心里过万一几块的意思。现在心里过的大勇的他们，他到底搞了呀？你像讲的形象是不松土是吧？我的这，大勇过万年纪了，他早就没说吧？他那形象就松被削弱死，他这些，他心里没压力，嗯，都不心里不塞的吧？等你小舅孙吧。
几百年吧，
年纪吧，现在上百，同意了下的，一级吧帮你，现在一级吧，现在一个那么多帮人了，是吧？一级吧，现在一个那么多的，那完了，连忙的，一了些的，现在都留到身心的，像把马吉一拍的，现在就是他把一了些个赢了，看一些。
第，看个这结巴，第是心里人，我心里说松的，等到他们就讲，多工这个，你冬天了，爸爸，我说的，心情明啊，是吧？就是心情明啊，告诉来呢，先不给，一个那么多别不行，明白了，明白那种如果呢，他不，咱们心里这个嘛，这里形象辛苦松下是，是吧？我带到心情明啊，你了，总算也，可是他心里那形象已经没有辛苦啊，的，他体现我了吧？
So we have more quotes just to substantiate the point that the actual serenity of karma abiding is characterized by pliancy. You see, before that, you know, we could have any single pointed concentration, effortlessness, spontaneity, whatever it is, but it's not yet the actual karma abiding. So we must understand that. And so we have more quotes, for example, from Maitreya's separation of the middle from the extremes. You know, where we talk about applying 8 antidotes to get rid of the 5 obstacles of the force, right? And one of the 8 antidotes is called equanimity, or I would consider it non-application. So what Maitreya talks about there is non-application. So that is the same as the 8 mental, the 9 mental stage, which is the balanced placement. You know, it's the same as that. And then we have another source called Ratna Akara Shanti's Instruction for the Perfection of Wisdom on page 81. So again, that says the same thing, you know. You may be able to stop the discursive thoughts, you know. You are able to really focus single-pointedly on your object, you know. You have that effortless and spontaneity, but without pliancy, you don't have serenity yet. So all of these sources we have quoted, isn't it? So they agree on the same thing, that pliancy is, you know, a characteristic of serenity. So regarding the practice of shamatha or serenity, the main source, if we want to look at Buddha's own words, is the Unraveling Thought Sutra, okay, or Sutra of Unraveling the Intended Meaning, as they put it here. Okay? And then that, whatever the Buddha said, has been elucidated further by many other great commentators, right? That's why we have Maitreya's separation of the middle from the extremes, Kamala Shila's stages of meditation, Asanga's, you know, Sharavaka Bhumi, then the the instruction for the perfection of the wisdom, and we have so many other commentaries. So they're basically elucidating what Buddha has said in that particular sutra. And now the next one the next question that's being raised is on page 81, somewhere in the middle. So we are we already talked about 9 stages of mental development. So the 9 stages seems to be very interesting. There's too much focus and too much discussion here. So, right? And then somebody says, okay, if that 9 stages, where you are effortless and spontaneous, but you said it's not yet serenity because you need pliancy, and maybe my student will say, whatever. Okay, let's not go there. And so the question he has is, okay, that is an interesting state, right? Now, if you look within the framework of the 3 realms of existence, the desire realm of existence, the form realm of existence, and the formless, so which of those 3 realms of existence this 9th stage really belongs to, this 9th level, yeah? And the answer to that is it really belongs to the level of desire realm of existence. Okay, the 9th stage, which is the balanced placement or the equanimity, it belongs to the level of the desire realm of existence. The levels of desire realm are called Nyambar Mahasabha, means non-meditative equipoise. Okay? Whereas the levels of the form and formless are called meditative equipoise. Okay? Why? Because in the desire realm, we experience things such as regret, okay, contrition, if you will. Okay? And also, our states of mind are devoid of pliancies. Okay. And so because of that, the technical terms they sometimes use to refer to the desire realm is called meditative equipoise existence, and for the other 2 realms are called meditative equipoise levels.
Chemba mana madena mendo di karina titan hindi jamba matom na chemba nama tenya sim mudo ba shugi mudo par shugi doji teo doja yuti chemba nama madena inser pije titan hindi jamba tomni mendo bakar matom na chemba nama madena zan namjal karza sim guva del any chemba ten shin ten guva ma bizuma duwa Mother Yang, same method of a shook in Dorsey, go to Chemba Nama Madena, thinking that he didn't do you, no? Do it as you were?
No.
They are Doja Yindu, the end of Doja, and you're Doja Kadina, that was 7 debates, you never to be top of the Mary to him, bro. Kong Jun Tamji to Tamji Dong, death of a Tanami, say, thinking in it. Thing is, in the same
So the ninth stage of mental development, balanced placement of we call equanimity in Yamsha, where it is effortless, where it's spontaneous, but it's not yet what called real calm abiding because pliancy is not there yet. But that being said, not only when we are in meditation, we experience that single-pointed concentration, but even when we are doing other things, activities like walking, sitting, sleeping, whatever things we do, even that time, our mind is so used to that state of mind that it almost like, it influences, right? Our mind, on oftentimes, a portion of our mind, if you will, is in that state. Yeah. So because of that, another term that is used to refer to that level is called single-pointed level of the desire realm. We are on page 82. A question has been raised. He said, "Well, you're talking too much about pliancy and it's so important. So what is it really? And how is it connected to calm abiding or serenity?" So that's the question being asked. And so now the pliancy is defined according to Asanga's compendium of knowledge. And so I read, what is pliancy? It is a serviceability of the body and mind due to the cessation of the continuum of physical and mental dysfunctions, and it has the function of dispelling all obstructions, unquote. Okay. So pliancy is defined as, being able to use our body and mind, just the way we want to, especially as we engage in. We are talking with reference to Dharma practice, isn't it? Our spiritual practice of doing the positive things. And so we can talk about physical pliancy and mental pliancy. Okay, physical pliancy means, right now, if we look at our body, if we sit to do our practice for an hour or two, it aches, all the pain started to come up. Yeah, so that means we don't have the physical pliancy yet. But if we have a physical pliancy, our body feels not heavy but light, And we can engage in our practice or positive actions for very long period of time without getting tired, you know, without getting fed up, and without fatigue and all those other things. Okay. Mental pliancy is the same way, that if we have mental pliancy, our mind can engage in positive thinking and practice, without any, difficulty. Because right now, you know, as we try to think about practice something, you know, it is a challenge, isn't it? It's a difficulty, you know. It is not always a joy, you know. It is a painful sometimes, you know. So when we have mental pliancy, there is a sense of joy, you know. It's not, and the mind can very smoothly engage in virtue and in practice. So that's what we're talking about. You know, how can we make our body and mind serviceable in the sense that we are able to use them in just the way we want to, in doing something positive and doing our practice without feeling, you know, tired, without feeling kind of uninterested, and without feeling all those other dysfunctional feelings.
At the bottom of page 82, we have a quote from Indian Master Sitaramati's explanation of the 30 stanzas. And so basically what we're really talking about is, serviceability of the body and serviceability of the mind. Okay? At the moment, there is so much what we call, maybe this is not English, but it makes sense, unserviceability of the body and mind. Because our body, you know, it aches, as I said, we engage in practice, you know, and so it is dysfunctional in that sense. You know, it started to rebel, it started to, I think, complain too much, you know. And the same with the mind, you know, mind go that, you know. So there's too much dysfunctional, in our body system, body and mind. And all of this really make it difficult for us to engage in practice, for a long period of time. But that being said,
you know, as we engage in a meditation, you know, it says there is a tiny bit of pliancy to begin with. You know, it's not like we are, you know, doing practice with empty, you know, nothing there, no basis. As we try to apply asana and practice, you know, there is a tiny bit of pliancy. You know, that is the seed. Okay? And we don't recognize it because it's too tiny and subtle, right? But as we build up that, we perfect that pliancy, you know, we try to develop that pliancy, and then slowly, slowly, right, it gets better and better, and it becomes more noticeable. Yeah. Especially when we have the real serenity or calm abiding, then we really know it, you know. Body feels very light, it's very pliant, and so is the mind, and now we can see the fruit of our practice. You see, that means the pliancy has become very evident, you know, it has become, you know, very manifest. But at the beginning, it's too subtle that we really don't notice it. But nonetheless, it is there when we do begin our, you know, our practice. In the middle of page 83, there is a description, or maybe I should read this, if nothing else, it'll amuse me, but the portent of the occurrence of easily discernible perfected pliancy is this. Persons who are striving to cultivate concentration experience a sense of heaviness and numbness of the brain. Yeah. But it's not an unpleasant heaviness. You know? So I guess I need that help, you know, to translate what Geshe was talking about. So the thing we are talking about here is, as we do our practice, you know, is there any kind of indicative sign that, you know, we are going to, right, pretty soon experience pliancy of body and mind? But is there going to be any sign? You know, we like sign, don't we, right? And that's it. Here is the sign: numbness of the brain. I'm just kidding. I think that must be a challenge for us to translate the Tibetan word. You know, when you translate it literally, it means heaviness and numbness, and I don't know whether there's good translators, you know. So I'm in the same group as these expert translators. You know, we haven't found a better word. But I really wonder whether it's more to do with the firmness, you know. You have a certain sensation in the brain, you know, in the brain, which gives you the firmness, I think. That's more like than heaviness. But not heaviness in the sense like, you know, it press you down, okay? And like, oh my God, what is this? Not that kind, but nonetheless, some kind of sensation there. We're talking more about the sensation rather than, you know, not numbing your brain, really, you know. So I think All of us are feeling here, maybe. And so we feel certain sensation, which is indicative of that, you know, we are, you know, really close to achieving pliancy. Now, as I said earlier, there is two kind of pliancy, right? Physical pliancy and mental pliancy. In terms of order of experience, we will experience first the mental pliancy and then the physical pliancy. Okay, so mental pliancy comes first before physical pliancy. Yes, again, Ross. And we will do Chivatinization. So we will do question answers. Okay. And okay, first let me write down this page number.
So I have a question.
Sure.
Is that heaviness a momentary thing, or is it just like once it happens and that's it, or is it just a long time? And the other question is, when this is all talking about focusing on an image, can you do that any time? I mean, does it have to be formally sitting, or can you do it, you know, throughout the day, like if you're walking and there's a moment, would that help also?
You mean the meditation?
Well, yeah, I mean just trying to focus on something.
Yeah, sure.
But the first part, is that like just once in your life it happens?
Sure. Well, if it's once a time, you sure don't want to miss it. I'll check.
First thing first,
with regard to that heaviness of the brain or the sensation, maybe less than like maybe kind of a little firmness sensation, Keshava feels that although the text doesn't really specify how long and what it is, but he feels that it's going to stay. You know, it's not like, you know, momentary thing happen and if you don't get it, then you lose it. No, I think it'll stay. You know, because it's a pleasant sensation. You know, it's not like, you know, a burdensome. It is a pleasant, so he thinks it will stay, you know, for a while. Why? Now, with regard to your second question, if our goal is to achieve calm abiding serenity, then, you know, we are really required to do the sitting meditation, right? As we talked about, it's not only that, you know, we have to do everything right in our meditative session, but even in between the sessions, right, we have to conduct ourselves properly. And so that we don't, you know, use the in-between sessions as an excuse to socialize and do other things, you know, which are not conducive to our practice. As a matter of fact, they said the in-between sessions should be shorter period, not too long, you know, not too long periods of, you know, relaxation, things like that. But that being said, that's a serenity meditation. But in general meditation, right? I mean, that's fine. If you're cultivating bodhicitta, cultivating love, compassion, or just trying to even think about Buddha, we can do it like walking, sitting, whatever it is. Okay, so it's a different matter. Okay. All right, next question, please.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Geshe-la. At the time, when After, when you go into calm abiding, after the stage nine,
okay.
Do you let go of the image of focus at this time, or are you still supposed to keep that image of focus?
Okay.
And not that I'm anywhere there, I'm just curious.
But I like it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're not there, not there.
Yeah, the in case.
Yeah. Good. The Hamasawara Sigudan, I don't know, did a mess, I in it, and the same Kuba labor again. Sebne Kuba, any that they should the Lia, that and the Kazusinjan Tovina, the Shine Momotogor. Then the Kuba lived in any Mingam de Pablish and a Digora, Yan Mingam Dana Jongo, or a
Kale. Jongo, that you combat on Gorsa. Major Lee and took a fair don't worry. Cotando Yartan, Tavaran Gom, that Bezun Shigomara, Kalis Hidayamara, Sinko, King is Kobu to dry your wa.
Even when we are, let's say, you know, we imagine ourselves to be on the ninth level of mental development, balance placement. We can't let go our focus. You know, we still have to maintain the focus. But the good news is it's effortless and spontaneous, you know. So we maintain our focus because that will, you know, by doing that, we are able to enhance our, you know, even experience of bliss and all the positive sensations, you know. But if we let go our focus, then, you know, it's not going to work. Yeah? And the thing is, what I really mentioned about is, in the case of cultivating mental happiness and bliss, you know, it's in. You know, the more we cultivate it, it can enhance, you know, infinitely. It's unlike the physical bliss or the pleasure, you know. The pleasure we gain from eating food, yeah, is good, but then you overeat something that transforms into pain, isn't it? But the mental doesn't work that. If you cultivate it, right, it gets better and better. It doesn't turn into something unwanted and unpleasant, you know, unlike eating and, you know, partying and all that. He didn't say partying, but I guess that includes it, yeah. You can roll it, I think.
Thank you, Geshe-la. So I think I'm a little confused with the teaching. It's been presented very technical, and I think just maybe a quick summary. Okay. So before sitting down for meditation, I feel like you have to have the six prerequisites in the beginning, which are dwelling in a suitable place, having little desire, cultivate a sense of contentment, giving up frivolous activities, abide by pure ethics, and then completing getting rid of desires. And then when you're sitting down in meditation, you need to set your focus, and then vigilance, introspection. And then the six forces that Geshe-la just talked about, the six forces, powers, force of hearing, reflection, mindfulness, vigilance, enthusiasm, and familiarization. Are they a result of the different stages of mental development in meditation, or do you work through them while you're meditating?
Okay. Good. All right, I wrote it down here. Top two la tene shine ka sene gu du sum ro wage top two de semne de ge de ge bu cha de yo de ya na ne top two de ro wage semne de ge du be top ro sum ro so
semne du ya top two top two gu du ba se de wa de ko kar se thong bo thong bo ke se ya de kar se thong bo nyam ba se de ne te be top se ya de gu du wa ko pi mi ba jo dong ge ini dong ga de kan de kan de gu de ge de gu ro wa se de ti ko ro jul sha wa du ya top two de ge simne gu de do wa ta
Geshe-la said the six types of force, or I might call six powers, are the methods, or, you know, or the techniques to accomplish the nine stages of mental development. They are not the outcomes or the results of the nine stages, but they are are the means to accomplish the nine stages. So there are kind of courses of, like, cultivating the nine stages of mental development. Yeah. Yes, we will roll the, I think he wants the mic down there. Yeah. I'll roll it, I think. Let's have some fun. Just roll it.
So, I agree. This is very technical. Uh-huh. And at least with myself, I have a very busy life. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure other Westerners can relate to that. We have very busy lives. Mm-hmm. So, practically speaking, in terms of sequencing and choosing which meditation to do and why, given a busy life, can Geshe-la talk a little bit about prioritizing, if you will?
Sure. Very good, yeah. Okay, let's go to get this table again. First, she answers, and in a drink that's soon reading as the city of Alia for that day, so with Mamma's desk, for answer, Tabor Sharing with the wagon, Sandra Combayo Marwagan. Yes, Geshe-la agrees that the meditation techniques that we have presented is very organized, very sequential, and kind of technical in some sense. That's all really meant for someone or those individuals who are bent upon, right? That they are going to cultivate serenity or calm abiding. And it's not a really easy thing to do. You see that? Now, considering our busy life, what he thinks is really useful, generally speaking, is that, if we can somehow, think about the law of karma and its outcome results, and do good, have good, do bad, have bad kind of thing. And also, try to cultivate kindness, being kind, act kind, So he thinks relatively those are easy to do. At the same time, those are really very meaningful, even from spiritual point of view. And then I just double checked, he said, with Geshe-la, would it be possible, that was my addition just to piggyback on you, so that we can still focus on, let's say, a couple of first stages of the mental development, like a placement or a continuum placement or something like that. He said, yeah, we could do that. That might help us a little bit with the stability of the mind. But if we, do the way we do it, right, without that dedication, he said, we are not going to achieve calm abiding, But it is, we can still do focus on certain things, and that might help us to develop certain stability of the mind, but that's not going to help us to accomplish serenity. Does that partly answer your question? Does it answer your question partly? Yeah. Now we need to roll the mic back. Yeah.
So that, I think
So then prior to sitting down for meditation, to have the six prerequisites, and then post-meditation, you should work on those six prerequisites that Geshe-la talked about. Mm-hmm. The pure ethics, I think, is one of the most important, and then having little desire and decrease in frivolous activities. Right. So then as in relation to the six forces, so if you're in stage one, then do you just cultivate the force of hearing and the force of reflection? And then do you just, you know, as you progress, then you work more on the force, which is a technique to accomplish that stage?
And to cultivate the force of hearing, not so much the cultivate, it's just like if we attend the teaching or listen, right? Because the power of that, listening to the teaching, it helps us to and do the setting of the mind and things like that.
I
think basically Geshe-la, what he explained is that, you know, as we progress on, like, you know, practice, right, so we maybe focus might shift more on the things. In the beginning, it's the force of the hearing, right, that helps us to set our mind on the focus. And then, you know, later, you know, we realize now we also need to, you know, reflect on the teachings we have received, right, the force of the contemplation of things, okay? And then we reach certain practice where we realize that, okay, now we need to master our mindfulness more because, our mind is getting more distracted. You know, we need to really tighten our grip on the focus. So I think it depends. As we progress in the practice, you know, our focus might shift on, you know, certain kind of a force and certain kind of attention, you know. Yeah. All right. Well, if not, we will stop there. I think past 12:30, so I think it's good. Yeah, we'll stop there and do our quick, return prayers.
Jesus, O peerless Savior and Supreme Teacher, Suddhodana's son, O the 17 masters and adepts, Nagarjuna and Asanga and so on, O Dipamkara as well as Sovereign Father Tsongkhapa, gloriously appear here today to grant auspiciousness on the great path leading to the heart of enlightenment you've traversed by means of the perfect threefold discipline and have enhanced ever higher the realizations of the enlightened qualities. O glorious Guru, we offer our supplications at your feet. Pray return gloriously to propagate the teaching of Lobsang by tying well the sash of monastic disciplinary precepts and generating the altruistic intention to free all beings engaged in the tantric yogas of the two stages. Think of the unbearable pain of the sentient beings who are enveloped in the forces of five degenerations and to open wide the lotus grove of Buddha's teachings. May our reincarnation appear soon as a source of merit for us. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings, rains of nectar from the great clouds of your pervasive, pure, and bright wisdom and compassion, to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, an incomparable great hero who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, the pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teaching. He who has raised a parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is a sun of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden it's set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individuals' dispositions and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three reasonings. Please return soon just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure enthusiastic minds. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication in regard to the perfect view, meditation, and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossom lotus that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa. By the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent arising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our
aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled.
Nam mô vô song cứu độ chí tôn bổn sư Tịnh Phạn Thái tử. Nam mô 17 cao tổ chư hiền thánh tăng long thọ vô trước. Nam mô Dipakara cùng thông cơ pha tôn vương thủ phụ. Quang lâm đương chốn hiện tại hiện tiền ban truyền phước nhũ. Thênh thang đạo lộ trực chỉ chân tâm kiến tánh đẳng giác. Ngài đã siêu việt do nghiêm túc giữ ba tạng giới luật, rồi lại phát huy bay bổng tuyệt vời bồ đề hạnh chứng. Tôn sư quang vinh tứ chúng thỉnh cầu gót sen lễ lại. xin mô trở lại quang huy truyền bá giáo pháp lô sang bằng sự thắt chặt đa giới nghiêm minh thiền môn tự viện, rồi lại khởi tâm từ bi đại nguyện giải thoát chúng sanh, tin chuyên hành trì du già mật định nhị phần chứng đắc. Xin luôn thương tưởng thống khổ bất cam ba cõi hữu tình, thường bị bao phủ trao đảo khôn nguôi mãnh lực ngũ trường, đưa tay rộng mở bát ngát vườn sen giáo lý Phật Đà, xin mau tái sanh nhanh chóng hiện hành phước nguồn tứ chúng. Nam mô vô biên chư Phật chư Bồ Tát, các ngài thị hiện bát ngát báu thân của chân đại lạc bất biến trong ngần, xin trải từ tâm ân cần phù hộ mưa thánh thủy thứ mây đại độ, đủ hệ bi tịnh phổ rạng ngời, tận diệt thống khổ tức thời, niệm nhân ngài bậc đại hùng vô sánh đã hoàn toàn chứng pháp tánh nơi tâm, ba tạng giới luật cốt thủy uyên thâm của đại thừa Như Lai truyền giáo, ngài nâng cao lộng vòng pháp bảo châm hướng vươn lan tỏa muôn phương, báu thân ngài chối nhòa phẩm hạnh sao bỗng nhiên nhập cảnh bích chi, ngài từng trước Phật thệ nghi hứa luôn hoằng pháp làm vì độ sanh, nay ngài hẳn không đành bỏ nguyện tùy phước đệ tử mà ngài hiện thế, lý nhân duyên chẳng thể nghĩ bàn, xin mau hóa sanh thành ánh đạo vàng, từ bi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn bơ phơ, xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư như kho tàng chứa kinh thư vô lượng, lời tuyên giảng soi đường pháp bảo khế căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh, xin mau trở lại là đại pháp vương lừng danh kim cổ mười phương tán đồng, phá tan núi mị pháp lồng tà kín tam đoạn luật xét nghiến sấm vang, xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước đắc ngũ minh kiến thức uyên thâm, biện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp âm, học giả khẩu phục hằng tâm, thiện giả cảm nhận hồng ân nước lòng, xin mau trở lại là bậc đạo sư thiên thư thông thái mẫn từ tận tâm, chánh kiến định mạng chuyên cần sen hế nhụy hương lân pháp đàn của tông khách ba ý ngọc lời vàng, do thần lực tam bảo liên những, do thần lực duyên khởi tương ưng với tánh không bất nhị bất trùng, do tâm lực trí thành cùng kiến ngưỡng, xin cho sở nguyện chúng đệ tử được tức thời viên mãn.
I forgot to make this announcement. There will be no 8 to 9 meditation next Sunday, October 16th and October 23rd, but 9 to 10 a.m. meditation will be private sitting. Okay.
Yeah.